This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. I thank you very much for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the first ever 36-hole Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, 18 mini golf before 18 traditional holes on the par 72 course. Both courses at Plantation Palms Golf Club. For golf information, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. All Todd Wright golf events are open to the public, all ages, all skill levels. Brandon Legal Group has the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament and has for years now. It's a simple message I am asked to convey about Brandon Legal Group. If you live in the greater Tampa Bay area and you are in need of legal assistance, they are a full-service law firm, and they are available for a free consultation by going to brandonlegalgroup.com, clicking on the box, request a free consultation, or you can call for that free consultation at 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME. Full service means family law. Full service means divorce. Full service means full service. Your full service law firm in the greater Tampa Bay area is Brandon Legal Group. Email for podcast purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. Also, my social media. Thank you, Drew Garabo, for appropriate for this podcast, what in wrestling they call a push. Drew pushed me over 4 digits in Instagram followers, and I'd love to have more. Todd Wright 2121 on Instagram, Todd Wright 2121 on Twitter, and of course I'm on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. It is a personal page. I will never ask you to like unique extra pages for this podcast, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, Season 3 of What Are the Odds? No, I do it all on one page. I don't want to burden you with extra pages. So if you friend me, please return the favor and don't ask me to like additional pages. I'll be happy to friend you and enjoy whatever you offer on your particular Facebook page. Joining you on a Wednesday, early on a Wednesday afternoon, and I mentioned the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which is a separate podcast. It is in Season 6. It is exclusively fantasy content. And presented by Hooters, and we are planning our big draft night for the second year in a row at Bill Curry Ford, supporters of mine, supporters of JoeBucksFan.com. That's coming up in and around Labor Day weekend, so a lot of good things are happening. I would imagine many of you share an enthusiasm that I do for the imminent beginning of the football season. I've come to tolerate exhibition football simply by seeing the helmets and the uniforms and the logos on the field. Even when I go to the gym, whether it's a live game or a replay game, I have access to NFL Network on a TV screen on the elliptical, and it's just nice to see uniforms out there. It teases me that it's imminent, right? We all have less of a tolerance for exhibition football. The good part about going to a 17-game regular season is we're down to 3 weeks of exhibition football. If you take out the Hall of Fame game as that one outlier as part of that ceremony, which was a terrific ceremony, had me even wondering, should they just announce classes every year and then induct and maybe do that game once every 2 years because it works so well? I'm sure that's not going to be done, but I think it was very effectively done, and it made me think, why not do this on a regular basis? But the start of the football season is fun, particularly for those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area. You're coming off your second Super Bowl title with the Buccaneers. You have all 22 starters returning. Most notably Tom Brady. You have a home opener where the banner will be raised. I wonder if they'll sort of restructure the banners on the pirate ship. The 2002 World Championship banner has been a flag flying on the pirate ship. I wonder if they'll redo that flag in addition to a second flag and do it the same way, or they'll do something else at this point. But Buccaneer fans obviously have a lot to look forward to. I'm a Cowboy fan. I look forward to them being the opponent of the Buccaneers that night. I look at it like this. I get to see my team play before, 48 to 72 hours before other fans of other teams get to see their team play on that particular Sunday or on Monday night. So I'm excited for that, just to see the Cowboys play. While I certainly have my reservations how they're going to do, what is going on with Dak Prescott, whether or not the defense is fixed, it's part of the enjoyment of football. I still enjoy the game. I enjoy watching them compete, whether they win or lose. And we all have our favorite teams. I look forward to the start of fantasy football, both season long, daily. I'll be likely in Vegas, as I generally am every year for the start of the National Football League season. So I'll get that rush of excitement for those that first Sunday in Las Vegas, betting on various games, and now they have their own team. Second year for the Las Vegas Raiders. They get a home game on Monday Night Football that first weekend, so should be a fun first weekend in Las Vegas. We all have things to look forward to as it relates to the start of the football season. So, as a result of that, because football season starts, there are things that have been occupying my time that now get pushed aside. They served a purpose since the end of last football season, and now they're less or not at all a priority to me because I need to create more time to follow the National Football League and also follow the major programs in college football, which is pretty much all I do now, is follow a handful of programs in major college football because they're the only ones that matter. They're the only ones that are relevant. I want to see the best. I want to see the playoff teams. And we've pretty much pared that down. We've done this on Toddcast before as well. That's Alabama and sort of a rotating second team in the SEC. It's Oklahoma, soon to be a team in the SEC. It's Ohio State. It's Notre Dame, even though they've been awful in actual college football playoff games or even in a BCS title game a number of years ago against Alabama. And Clemson. That's it. That's the list. So I don't know. Last year, that rotating second was Texas A&M. Right? They were the one that was the rotating second team. In previous years, it's been Auburn. In previous years, it's been LSU. In previous years, it's been Georgia. Prior to that, sort of late in the BCS era, it was Florida. So that's it. That's what I watch in college football. I don't watch college football all day on Saturday. Give me the best teams. They don't often play each other, but at least I want to watch them because to me, they're the only thing that's relevant in college football. So one of the things that generally goes away on my plate of what entertains me, what occupies my time, what I enjoy in the fall, oh, how dare you think golf goes away? No, golf doesn't go away. I just mentioned Todd Wright Tour 36, my first ever 36-hole golf tournament, is the first Saturday of October, and December 11th will be my annual holiday tournament. This year, that will be at West Chase Golf Club in Tampa, an annual host of Todd Wright Tour golf events. So, no, and actually, as the weather gets better, I will play more golf. And I think I even said recently on a fantasy football podcast or here, I'm not one of those anymore that from the moment I wake up on an NFL Sunday to the moment I go to bed, I'm all NFL. I actually don't watch very much of the 1 o'clock action unless the Cowboys are involved. I get out of the house. I want to get outside. I want to enjoy the sunshine. That's just me. And I want to go play golf. And often the weather, living here in Central Florida, the weather's going to get better starting late September, early October, and then be increasingly better through the months of October, November, into December, and even January, where I can get out and play. And then I come home from golf, usually with some takeout food from somewhere, and I enjoy a very late lunch. I watch the second half of the 4 o'clock games. And then I love the NBC game on Sunday night, and as well as the primetime game on Monday, especially now that they have a legitimate announce crew in there. Nothing against Joe Tessitore, always a legitimate announcer. But Joe was given a horrible hand to deal with, and to me was always a college football or boxing announcer. But as a good employee, he, of course, did the best he could for a few years on Monday Night Football, working with bad people, one very bad person in particular that I've talked about. So, no, golf goes nowhere for me. Now, I know the more significant events in the PGA Tour are not played during that time, but even the PGA Tour finally reshuffled their schedule. Next weekend, for Labor Day weekend, the PGA Tour ends its regular season. So they kind of get out of the way, even though they do have some events that go up against college football and pro football in the fall and in the winter. They don't have their playoff events anymore against the NFL, knowing a number of people like me who enjoy professional golf are not going to watch those events rather than watch pro or college football and or college football. No, the thing that I have to clear my plate of is WWE. And for those of you that don't like wrestling, you can go away and I'll see you on the next podcast. It's okay. This isn't a wrestling podcast. I've just enjoyed wrestling since I was young, not since I was a kid. It wasn't something that most of you know. I was raised by my grandparents, my legal guardians, and no, my grandfather nor my grandmother was into it. They weren't. They were not into it. I didn't get into it until I was high school, college aged, and could kind of pick my own entertainment. That's when I kind of got into it. Also, my grandparents lived not far from where Hulk Hogan had a home. So, and obviously, there have been a number of wrestlers who are native to or reside in the greater Tampa Bay area, which I have called home since I was about, what, 5, 6, 7 years old after being born in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, no, it wasn't something that my grandfather or my grandmother passed on to me. I probably didn't really watch until maybe I was in high school, and then in college, and then first out of college, I started going to some live events. And then I had a very good friend who worked in PR for then the WWF, later the WWE, and he often invited me to events. And I started going more and more. And then once I started traveling to go to major sporting events, I just started to incorporate, hey, these are fun to go to. And I had friends who wanted to go with me just because they were curious or they had been with me once before. They thought, hey, this is a good time. We've got, you know, we've got tickets. We've got good seats. Let's go. Let's go enjoy ourselves. Let's go be entertained. And we did. And I went to WrestleMania X7, as it was called, at the Houston Astrodome, famously billed as The Rock versus Stone Cold, with the headline, Houston, you have a problem. Then also went to the WrestleMania in Orlando, which was Ric Flair's retirement match. You all often see that in memes on Twitter with Ric Flair on his knees, just saying to the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, bring it. You know, I know it's over, but bring it. Give me your best shot. And HBK hits the sweet chin music, and that's it for the career of Ric Flair. That was WrestleMania 24. I remember that match very well because we had tailgated a little bit before going in there, and not that I overdid it, but by the time the Flair match happened, I really had to go to the bathroom. All right, maybe this is too much information, but you've probably all been there where you just really have to pee. And from the moment Flair, and I didn't know that when the Flair match was going to happen. And here he comes walking down the ramp, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to hold this. And it took a while. Not only did it take forever for him to get in the ring, but the match took a while. So the minute Flair got pinned, I ran to the bathroom because I had to. And I missed, you know, how long he was in the ring afterwards and his embrace with his family and sort of the end there. I saw him get pinned, and then I booked it for a bathroom in the Florida Citrus Bowl. So I didn't get to see what happened next because I had to go, literally. So, and then the most recent WrestleMania I was at Raymond James Stadium, the second night I was at. And I've been to various pay-per-views over the years. And I even get asked by WWE for my opinions on some things. And I tell them pretty much the same thing every year once we get into the fall, that I'm not watching, that I don't have time for you, that almost no matter what you do, I go away. I'll be back, and I'll be back with the Royal Rumble. It's one of my favorite. The Royal Rumble match, to me, is my highlight of the wrestling year. That match, there are two things that really stand out to me about WWE that I think are cool. The Royal Rumble match, the format of it, the uniqueness of it, how many different personalities you have, all the different things you can do in that match, how the winner of that match is guaranteed to headline WrestleMania, so it's the start of WrestleMania season. It works very well. And the other thing that I wish they'd do more with, and maybe this is coming next year with the announcement that they're going to do this event in a domed football stadium, going back to Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, is the Money in the Bank. I was at the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view, not the first Money in the Bank match, but the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view in downtown Kansas City. I love the concept of the Money in the Bank, and I wish it was never out of rotation. As in, like, Big E has the Money in the Bank briefcase right now. So he can cash that in whenever he wants for a title match. Unfortunately, let's say Big E does that this Friday on SmackDown, which he won't do. But let's say he does that. Then the Money in the Bank case is out of rotation until we get to the July 4th weekend next year in Las Vegas. I think the minute the case is cashed in, the next week there should be a Money in the Bank match for that particular show. You need to keep that case in rotation just because it always presents a what-if element. Because let's face it, in the last couple of pay-per-views have proven it, when the show was basically ending at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, John Cena came out. That set everything up leading up through SummerSlam. And then after Cena lost at SummerSlam, then Brock Lesnar came out. So the WWE likes to surprise people. They like to get that reaction that gets that social media buzz that sets up what's next. If they just kept the Money in the Bank briefcase in rotation on both shows, they could do more of that. So I don't think it should ever go out of rotation. I think that's a better idea than just having it as one pay-per-view. So speaking of Brock Lesnar, and I even got a little pushback when I was wearing my You Can't See Me hat when I visited Noble Crust for some takeout. Noble Crust, a wonderful restaurant here in the Tampa Bay area, if you've never visited, with Todd Wright Tour golf supporter Chris Sweeney as one of the managing partners. They, for the next few weeks, they have a charcuterie pizza. I posted this on my social media. The wonderful person that currently has, that's in my life, we do a lot of dinners together, and we enjoy sharing food together among doing other fun things together. And we like charcuterie and we like pizza. So Chris Sweeney's idea was combining charcuterie and pizza. He has a charcuterie pizza for a limited time on the menu at Noble Crust at their three locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. It's dynamite. It's really good. So I was picking that up. I had on my You Can't See Me hat. Actually, as I was taking the selfie to promote Noble Crust on social media, a guy walked by me with like a family of six, and he hung by him, and they just said to me, "I can't see you." So it's funny the attention that hat gets. So, Cena loses. And so someone posted on my Facebook page about, spoiler alert, Brock Lesnar, which was no spoiler alert, because I saw him live because I watched the pay-per-view after we had dinner that night. And, I responded, yawn. And someone said, oh, my post deserves better than that. And then a couple other people jumped in, and then I just sort of halted the thread because the thread was more about Noble Crust and their charcuterie pizza and not about this conversation as it relates to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar does nothing for me. So, I guess there were thoughts of having Brock Lesnar face Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam. That didn't happen, and it led people to believe that, something would happen with Lesnar again down the road. Well, that down the road is now starting now, and I'm just saying good time for it to start because I'm not going to be watching. As far as I'm concerned, WWE and Brock Lesnar should, cut a however long a deal they want. You bring Lesnar back when football season starts, and then you get him out of there. If you can get him out of there by the Rumble, that's perfect for me because I don't watch anything between SummerSlam and the Rumble. And I have no interest at all because Lesnar to me brings nothing to the table. Involves no reason that I have currently or will in the future watch wrestling. He is a one-trick pony who can't even do his own talking, who does the same thing over and over and over and over. And for those of you who say, well, that's been John Cena's career his entire time. No, Cena talks. Cena's uniforms are different. Cena's logos are different. Cena's storylines can be different. And this isn't an either or. And clearly, Lesnar's in it for the paycheck. I don't know if he's hurting for money. I know he has, four kids, lives somewhere in Canada, rarely makes public appearances. Look, you're allowed to be a private person, but part of what I respect about the best in the WWE has been when I've interacted with them, either backstage or at promotional events, and I really appreciate what they do for the brand and promotion of the brand. The most recent example pre-COVID was the WrestleMania press conference I went to at Raymond James Stadium and how wonderful my interaction was with Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Roman Reigns and Stephanie McMahon. It gives you an appreciation for them as people and what they do to promote the company. One of my favorite wrestlers to have on my show when for the 17 and a half years I did national radio was Sheamus. And Sheamus is one of those who'll do anything for the company. Cena has done anything for the company. Those are the guys I respect, the ones who get it, who can do the live promo, who can do the public appearances, who sell the brand, who can be good guy or bad guy. And I know Cena's never been, quote, bad guy, but he sort of embraces the people who say he sucks. They can't turn Cena as a bad guy because of the mothers and kids. But still, I mean, they haven't yet. But Lesnar is the same every time. And for those of you who like that, maybe you also like UFC, which brings me to UFC does nothing for me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No interest. And I am one of those that since the UFC became a big deal, and I admit it's a moneymaker. That doesn't mean I have to like it. That doesn't mean it's good, in my opinion. If I walk into a sports bar or restaurant and there is a UFC pay-per-view on all the screens and the audio, I will walk out. That restaurant could be giving away the best steaks, and Johnny Walker blew that night, and I will turn around and walk out because I want no exposure to UFC at all. And to me, that's all Brock Lesnar is a UFC guy, in his own words, working part-time for full-time money and getting it from Vince McMahon. And unfortunately, it must work for Vince or he wouldn't have Brock involved. But thank you, Vince, for bringing Brock back at exactly the time that I don't have time to watch wrestling. And if you don't mind, why don't you take Brock out? I'd love to see him lose at Royal Rumble, and then he can go away and enjoy February through August back at his home in Canada and just count his money. That's fine with me. So thank you, Vince. Thank you, WWE, for bringing back Brock Lesnar at the exact time that I'm going away from watching your product because I don't have time for you because I have to clear my plate for football season. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit their website at brandonlegalgroup.com for a free consult or call 844-4BLG4ME. And remember, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, a separate podcast from this one. Check it out for regular fantasy content as we are already 16 or 17 episodes into season 6. Talk to you next time.